We welcome you this evening to Bethel Baptist Church here in the auditorium. Thank God for all the people here tonight. And then also those who are on the internet listening, thank God that they're excited about the book of Revelation. And as we start a real battle, it's not so difficult a class. It's just a matter of trusting what I say in the morning. Whatever is written is written. We start always with number 255, Blessed Assurance, and we will sing the first and last stanza as we start our evening service. You all the day long, as the Hebrews said in the beautiful book of Psalms, the Tehillim, praises and praises and praises. You are a mighty God. You are a God of mystery for many of us, because you move and you do things we sometimes do not understand or comprehend, or we have no plan for. But we are grateful that you are there. You are inseparable from us. Help us to hear your voice and help us to see what you're doing with us. And how beautiful this song tells us the blessed assurance of having a God who is with us. Lord, we're going to sing praises to you. We're going to look upon the first day in which you're going to let this world know that you are coming back. Help us to understand it and to rejoice and the fact that you are a merciful God. In Jesus we pray and thank you. Amen. All right, we'd like to suggest that you suggest to me which song we will sing. And I can see little Anthony here.
468.
What, which one? 468. All right, 468. These are the little boys of yesterday, the boys of today. 468. I will sing the wondrous story.
Yeah.
Shelley, come in a little bit. We're going to ask some questions of Shelley. Come in, all right. You know, we're going to have a reporter's spirit, all right, from the radio. All right. I don't know what happened with that person, but don't worry about it. In public life, it's like that. All right, Shelley, tell me what places you've been in Europe.
Oh, I went to Prague, St. Petersburg, and Moscow.
Oh, wow, wow. Now, which one impressed you more?
Prague.
Prague. Why?
The people were friendlier, and it was just more of an inviting place.
Now, I heard that you sing solos. Where did that happen?
I had solos in Prague, St. Petersburg, and Moscow.
Okay. Everywhere. Now, tell me, the buildings. You were impressed by the beautiful buildings in Prague?
Yeah, they're really old, like from the 1400s, and just much older than anything that's here. So it's just really amazing to see all that history.
And the acoustic was marvelous, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, what do you like most? And I'll let you go. What is what you like most of this trip?
The chance to get to know a lot of the people I was with and to sing in these places.
Praise God. Yeah, that keeps in your memory forever. God, let's give a good hand, all right? Praise the Lord. These are young people here. Any application for Shelley's telephone costs you $100. Send it to the pastor. Goes to the deacon board. Later on to his mother. All right. Okay. Tell me, what is the next song, please? Yes, Tricia. 262. She had the flower like a Spanish girl in Malaga. 262. You tell your grandpa you want to be in Malaga for a month. All right? Trust in Jesus. It's only Jesus and they want an apparatus to follow, you know? It's just Jesus and so on. Like the Lord's Supper today, it's just Jesus. Remembrance of Jesus. It's not Jesus, it's a remembrance of Jesus. Why people have such a problem with that? All right, another son, okay? I see these Doolittle's boy in the back with Linda Goodman, and you tell me your son. Jesus loved me. Sir, you're the chaplain today. Come in here with all your keys. All right. All right, you're all coming in. They all come here, Pastor. They're going to see you. All right. Come on, guys. Okay, darling. Dr. Doolittle, come in. Okay. Come on, Billy. Come on, Muchachos Hudson. Come on. We all sing Jesus Love You. This is a future doctor of Bethel Baptist Church right here. Okay, he looks like a doctor. All right. Yeah. I want to say so many times, and did he become a doctor? Okay, all right. Okay, Jesus loved me. It's 440, and it's 479. Thank you. Here we are. The little squire.
Jesus loves me. Yes, I know.
Little Tricia to have problems, but there is no little Tricia to have problems. Little boy that today will be no chocolate before sleep, okay? All right, I drink a good hot chocolate before sleep, and you will not have one cup today. All right, now tell me another son. I saw a lot of hands coming in, and the children will remember that. Yes, sir, yes. 455? All right, 455. All right, and if you went to the second service there in Pacific Hill, Brother Ralph, everything went okay? All right. How many people were there today? 32. That is good. We still a light in the community, and it's still a blessing. Did you, Greg, preach today? Who? Oh, Wayne, the first Sunday. All right. Anybody remember what he preached about it? That's important to remember what the pastor preaches. All right. Okay. There are people in the radio that write me letters. And I remember in 78 when you preached this sermon. You remember? No, I don't. I don't remember. But in 78, it's just amazing how people are excited about the word of God. 455, in my heart, there rings a melody. Next one, okay? The next son. What number? Number 500. Is it my wife? All right. Yes, here we are. Number 500. When the roll is calling yonder, all right?
Gold is golden, yonder I'll be there.
Tricia, little Tricia?
44.
All right. That's the first number that came to her mind. Let's see. All right. 44. I cannot be the I should give. Thank you, Tricia. All right. Thank you very much. Section of songs, all right? Yes, sir.
133.
Say it again.
133.
133. Very good. All right. The strife is over. All right. Wow, everybody is talking about going to heaven, all right? These are the ending. Raquel talks about the trumpet. 133. Is that the song he said? 133? Okay, 133. Let's try this out.
They're all singing the Revelation. That's
thank you. wonderful song. Thank you very much, son, for that beautiful.
Thank you, Raquel, for playing. And we invite you to look in the book of Revelation with us today on the first trumpet. We sing about the trumpet, and we know that when the trumpet sound is the end. We're in Revelation 8, but I just, you have an outline also with you, two pages outlined, where we briefly goes and tackle the very end of that verse 7. let's have a word of prayer that the Lord bless us at this moment. Father, we are looking into the book of Revelation again and looking into a detail of the first trumpet. They're going to be sound as the angel of God and the admonition and direction of God will proceed with the end of the world. Lord, we trust your word. We trust the interpretation thereof, that your word is complete, and that we do not need extra imaginary thoughts in order to see you. Just believe what you wrote. And so, Father, help us to do so. In Jesus we pray. Amen. The book of Revelation was written by John, because in Revelation 1:1, the Bible says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show his servant things which must surely come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel, by his messenger, unto his servant John. And we know that John was not in an office, but was in an island in jail. And what a privilege. God just come to him right there and reveal the last words of Jesus. Now, it is a book about the revelations of Christ, because in verse 2, the Bible says in chapter 1, who bear record of the word of God and the testimony, the revelation of Christ Jesus and all things that he saw. And the subject of the book of Revelation is a disclosure of God's final plan, final moments in the world. Verse 3 said, blessed is he that readeth and that hear the words of the prophecy and keep those things which are written, for the time is at hand. And this was written at the end of the first century, actually into, I believe, into the second century, if we take the year number 1 as near number 7 in the Roman calendar, and maybe written by the year 107, 1010. And so therefore, the time is at hand, said the apostle at that time, giving us an idea that we are not to worry about the precise time of this, but after the crucifixion, that's the end of history. God, after the crucifixion, doesn't have any other plan for mankind except the judgment, and we go to heaven, those who believe, and the others will be judged. Now, the study of the book, I want to do this. I want you go with me to Isaiah, please, in chapter 28 of the book of Isaiah. This is the way to study the book, because I read in many commentators and in many places who are a record about this study, I read that there is an interpretation historically, and there is an interpretation from the Protestant point of view. You know, we don't want any interpretation of anybody. We want the Bible interpretation. And here it is, Isaiah 28, and look with me, verse 10. And here is how God wants you and I to study the scripture. For precept must be upon precept. And that word precept is a word concept. For concept might be upon concept, concept upon concept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. God doesn't want you to interpret anything. God wants you to put the scriptures together and get a concept of what is taught together so you understand it. Give you a fly understanding of this one example. In Genesis 2:24, God ordains marriage. A man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. And there will be no any hinders between them. Verse 25 said, and the two were nude, not in the sense of physical nudeness, but the two were nude mentally and spiritually, and there was no secrecy between them. There was a tremendous, and they were not ashamed. One will talk to the other. The perfect union that God created as a husband and a wife. Then that's what is taught. Now, that's a concept. Now, where that concept is taught again, in Matthew 19, And by verse 6 said, let the man leave his mother, father and mother, and cleave to his wife, and the two should be one flesh. But now Jesus said, and what God has joined together, let not American lawyer put asunder. And so you can see then the addition by Jesus complementing that marriage is permanent. And then the same concept is in Ephesians 5:31, we said, let the man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. And Beth 32 said, and this is not a mystery, I'm talking about the Christ and the church. And so the apostle said, marriage then is a picture of the union of Christ with the church. It is not an interpretation, it is a revelation as God has put it in the scripture. And this is the way to interpret the Bible. It takes a lot of time. We got a lot of calls today asking for my pamphlet on how to combine the Old Testament with the new one. We're going to ask for a $100 donation, and the church will be level. And there, it's just you get a concordance. You know, little alphabets in Greek and Hebrew and Latin, and the whole thing comes together. Otherwise, it's my idea and yours ideas. And if we are 50 people here, there will be 50 ideas. And if that's the way, each idea will be right. But this is the idea that's right, the Bible. All right? Okay. Now, with that in mind, the contents that what we already studied is in chapter 1, we have the revelation of Jesus Christ glorified. This is not a little boy in the manger. This is the King of Kings, the Alpha and the Omega. In Revelation 2 and 3, we have the revelation of Jesus Christ's church. Were those churches perfect? Only one, Philadelphia. All right? And what was the secret? Theology? No. What was the secret of Philadelphia? Love. Love. Putting the shoulder with my brother's problems and lifting him up is the heart, it is the heart of a big church. And I hope this church isn't that way. And then chapter 4, the revelation of a heavenly worship. And they remember verse 11. Look at verse 11 in chapter 4. That's a remarkable statement at the end of chapter 4. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and they were created. It's the consummation of power. So much that the Westminster Confession of Faith, when it was written on the first page, have these. I will write this confession against the Catholic Church because we only are worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ and no man. All right. Chapter 5 is a revelation of the investiture of the Lamb. Remember, in Daniel, the book of life was closed. Daniel was a smart cookie. He knew how to make questions. And he said, what about this God? And what about this God? And God is feeding him. And God said, wow. Basta, no more, Daniel, close the book until the time is right. And the book of the mystery of the end of life is closed. Everybody is trying to do how and try to investigate how the universe starts. But God is in business to tell you how the universe is going to end. We know how it starts. God created. So we don't have to waste time and taxes for that. But how the universe is going to end, that is the key. And God is in business to reveal that. And remember, the book was handed to Jesus. John cry. He said, nobody is worthy. And one elder said, John, don't cry. One was found worthy. What's the name of that fellow? The name of that fellow is the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that. Now, chapter 6 is a revelation of the development of God's plan. And God is telling us all the manifestations of what he's going to do. In chapter 7, the revelation of God's protecting, sealing of his people. He seals Israel, and then he seals the church. That makes sense, don't we? And in spite of God's going to destroy everybody, he said, well, don't panic. I'm going to seal Israel, which he did. Israel is done. And I'm going to seal the church. And I'm never going to lose one. That's comforting. Then Revelation 8, the revelation of the events of history. This is where the juicy things comes in the book of Revelation. We study already verses 1 to 6, which were the clarifications. But I'm going to go directly into verse 7. Remember, in the clarifications, let's go to Revelation chapter 8, and I'm going to read 1 to 6, just an introduction to verse 7. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half hour. I told you that I don't know what that half hour means, but I know that when they opened the seventh seal and they saw that here are the seven angels with the trumpet for the final moment of the world, there was a strike and everybody was quiet. Now, verse 2 said, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, and he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. In heaven, the believers pray, God ended. God, as you read from chapter 4 to 6, the prayers of the believers say, God, get there and get those guys ended. Get Satan out of there. And now, at the final moment, here's the censer with the prayers of the believers who say, please, God, get this done. Verse 4, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast into the earth. And there were voices and thundering and lightning and an earthquake. And we know that happened also in the book of Exodus. And the seven angels which had the seventh trumpet prepared themselves to sound. Now they're all in line. I can see it. Whatever they stand or fly or whatever they do, they're there. And one of those guys blow the trumpet and things start happening. Now listen. It was a common messenger. The things that we're going to read here, then we will read it in the newspaper tomorrow or in 10 days or 20 days. Or as we read, 4 or 5 months, that happened near India, that, what do you call it, the water came in? Yeah, we will think it's something like that. And there's no something like that, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing like that. Angels are doing this. Angels are supernatural. What do? They do supernatural things. So nothing of what happened here on this earth is a sign of the end. What we're going to read is a sign of the end. And you're going to see how supernatural will be and how the unbelievers are that they will not believe. But God wrote it for you and me. God wrote it so that Greg knows and Maria knows and I know and my wife knows. So when things happen, one day we lose half of the trees of the earth. We don't say, oh, that was because of the warming of the earth. No, something is coming. All right? So let's tackle. Verse 7. What does the scripture say? Let's see. You look in verse 7 because I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to rephrase verse 7 to see if I understand what the scripture said. This is what verse 7 says. The first angel, and I'm reading from the King James to be safe, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled, the King James said, with blood, should be in blood. The word in, epsilon nu is there. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees. Now, doesn't say trees, the original, said three. So indicating with a plural article and a singular noun, then the translation should be done in this way. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of every tree actually should be written this way. And the third part of every kind of tree. That should be the proper translation. When you have an article should follow the noun. An article preceding the noun should follow in gender and in number. And here the gender is feminine, and of course, for English people say an article is feminine. Yeah, that's what it is. It's feminine and it's plural, and the noun is feminine and singular, indicated that the order of a structure changed a little bit. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of every kind of tree was burned up. And now this is amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, if I read this to a fire department, they will not believe me. And all green grass was burned up. I'll tell you in a moment if you don't cut it already. Okay, here's what the Bible says. The messenger from God gives the okay. You see, the first angel sounded. This is not going to happen when you and I want it, or when the saints are in heaven praying want it. When the angel who has the first trumpet wanted. God is in control of the last minute of this earth. No man in this earth knows that moment. No man. Clearly said, the first angel sounded. Who told them? God. There is no circumstantial evidence that because of this happened, the angel did this. The angel was standing by. He must receive a radio broadcast in his 9/11 receiver, and it sounded. Was not from the earth, was from heaven. Immediately, the first event followed. This is what it is. This is the first event. And there follow hail and fire mingled in blood. It's not the rain. It's hail and fire, blood on it. That's what happened. And they were cast upon the earth. That's what happened. Consequently, because of what that act of God did, one fair of every kind of tree burned up, and I put in my outline in capital letters, all green grass burned up. Now, to be sure that I'm talking to you right, I called the fire farmer. And I said, there is a green farmer, grass farmer here in Gilroy, and I think they're going to get in fire. They need your help. He said, sir, is it green grass? He said, yes, green grass do not get fire. Thank you. I just started in the Bible. All right. They think I'm, but it's good. This is an impossibility. Green grass do not get fire. So, God, what do you mean? Okay, let's see. Clue number one. God let man know the earth belonged to him through supernatural catastrophes. All right? Now, the catastrophe here has also happened already. Let's go to the book of Exodus. All right? Let's go to Exodus chapter 9. You remember the plagues? The plagues were not spiritual. Do you believe that the plagues were spiritual and not literal? Exodus chapter 9 and verse 13. Look at it. We're going to read all the way to verse 35. The clue is in verse 29. So whatever is happening in Revelation already happened in history. Here it is. I'm reading Exodus 9:13. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, thus said the Lord God of the Hebrew, let my people go that they may serve me. For I will this time send all my plagues upon thy heart and upon thy servant and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. See, God wants the people to know that you cannot exchange God for anything. He's number one. Verse 15. For now I will stretch out my hand, that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in every deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared through all the earth. As yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go. Excuse me. Behold, tomorrow, about this time, I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as have not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them and shall die. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of the Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servant and his cattle in the field. And the Lord saith unto Moses, verse 22, stretch for thy hand that toward heaven, and that they were may be hailed in the land of Egypt, upon man and upon the beast and upon every herb of the field through the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunders of hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there were none like it in the land of Egypt, since it became a nation. And the hail smote through the land of Egypt all that was in the field, both man and beast, and the hail smote every herb of the field and break every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, that was the land where the Jewish people were, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have seen this time the Lord is righteous and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer. Verse 29 is the key. And Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands upon the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how the earth is the Lord. Now, here's the key. Why will God in Revelation chapter 8 and verse 7 will get hail in blood and send that kind of undescribable, you can describe that, what it is, send this to earth? What was the reason for it? Here is in verse 29. Why did he send the plague to Egypt? Verse 29, that thou mayest know how the earth is the Lord. The Lord is in charge of this earth, and the earth belongs to the Lord. And so clue number one, this supernatural catastrophe hail and fire in blood that is coming to heaven, they have no explanation, natural explanation. It is a revelation that God is in charge of this earth. Happened then? And the guy lied. He said, oh, I have sinned. And a lot of people, I saw a lot of people saying, oh, yes, I'm a sinner and so on. And they do it again and do it again. You know, he lied. Pharaoh lied. He was not converted because he said, I sin and my people are wicked and so on. No. He lied. He wanted to get off from this. He knew that God was in thing. Now, the earth is in decay. So when this happened in Revelation chapter 8 and verse 7, people will not even say what Pharaoh said. They will try by mighty intelligence to know what is going on. All right? Amazing. I mean, you know, clue number one, God is in control of this earth and is going to do a catastrophe never seen before, impossible to describe, unnatural to the natural things of life. So the people will pay attention and said, this is of God, but they will not say it. Clue number two. God let us know the timing of this plague. Look at here in Revelation 8:7. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled in blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of every kind of tree burned up. Now let's take a good look to the book of Joel. All right, it's right here in the Old Testament, and we have a prophecy over there in the book of Joel, in chapter 2. You know that chapter 2, verse 28. I get there with you. Here, chapter 2, verse 28. Here it is. Here's a prophecy. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Now, this prophecy was fulfilled right here in Acts chapter 2, verse 17 to 19. There was a plague in the times of Joel. And at the end of that plague, God said, this is what is going to happen. This is the sign of the plague they're going to send. People, we have a vision of God. That verse that we read in Joel, chapter 2:28, you can actually go to verse, let me get it again. I get to Joel. You change Bibles and it's hard to get into the case. Here it is, Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. I go to verse 31. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I put out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be burned into darkness and the moon into the blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord. So that prophecy in verse 28 is related to the moment where God is going to show after the prophecy comes. After common men will have the Spirit of God and be able to preach and have the vision of understanding God, after that, then will follow these and wonders in heaven and so on. When you go to the book of Acts, in chapter 2, verse 17, Peter said, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, no day, the last days," which means that is from the period of the cross to the end, "and it shall come to pass in the last days, say God, I will put out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." In other words, the fulfillment of Joel prophecy will be here. "And your young men shall see vision, and your old men shall dream." In other words, what is happening now in Acts chapter 2, that the Holy Spirit penetrate the life of every believer, then this is nothing more than this is the time of the prophecy. Now remember, Joel said, when the prophecy comes, the people will understand God, everyone by themselves. Then the next thing to follow will be wonders in heaven. So we know that this event of the first trumpet is not in the Old Testament to happen. It's in the New Testament, and it's at the end of the progression. Look at verse 18. "And on my servants and on my handmaids, I will put out in those days my spirit, and they shall prophesy or preach. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke." So I know if you got it or not. I said my mind very clear, but I don't know if I can get it out clear. In the Old Testament, there was a prophecy by Joel. He said, one day will come in when God will reveal himself. Now, you studied this morning John 20. I have my thesis on John 20, and I know it by heart, in Greek and so on. And here's what happened. In John 20, the disciples did not have the Holy Spirit inside, so they cannot understand what's going on. They run to the tomb, and they wonder and ponder, and they try mentally to understand what's really going on. But one disciple went in, don't look at anything, don't look in a casual way, and believe. Now, the Bible said later on that the Holy Spirit was not given to them yet, was given here. So the prophecy of Joel is saying this: one day, every common human being that God elected before the foundation of the world will receive the Holy Spirit and understand me. Now, when that happens, the next thing will happen is the heavens will have, the next extra supernatural thing that will happen in the world is not the receiving of the Holy Spirit, is the supernatural events in heaven. Now, that's the prophecy. Now, Peter take the prophecy and said, today we are in day number one of that prophecy. We have received the Holy Spirit. And now, he said in verse 18 and in verse 19, the next thing to follow is there will be wonders in heaven. And there will be marvelous things that happen. And so here it is, clue number two. God let us know that this prophecy or revelation, this revelation of 8:7 tell us that the time of this event is in the New Testament time and not in the Old Testament time. It is at the end of the New Testament time and not at the beginning of the New Testament time. At the beginning of the New Testament time is the establishing of the church. And then when that church goes on and on, there will be a day where God will bring wonders in heaven. Wonders in heaven doesn't mean a storm. It means something unnatural to us. Completely unnatural. All right? Clue number three. God will produce a supernatural judgment. Seeing hail and fire and mixing blood, this is different from the ordinary forest or grass fire, which usually come when the grass and trees are parched, and then dry and not green. Green grass cannot get on fire. And so therefore, this is a supernatural event. Entirely supernatural. This is something that we have no control whatsoever. We can explain what the water does, or a maremoto does, or whatever an earthquake does, but we cannot explain this. This will be an entire supernatural event. In other words, we have not seen yet one. We have not seen yet one. We have not seen one event like this yet one. So the prophecy is ahead of us. Now, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but it's ahead of us. Before the Lord comes, man will be warned. And that's the clue number four. God is giving a merciful warning to the people of the world. You remember what I read in Exodus 9? Hail came down, and God destroyed the cattle and the people. But no here. No people is destroyed. You notice? When you compare the same events, and you see what God is doing, in Exodus chapter 9, God got everybody in. Here is only the grass and the tree. What do you think God is saying? God is saying, listen to the word of God, I'm coming. Now remember that Peter said, God is patient, so to save as many men as possible. And so God in his patience is going to get the trees and the grass, and they are in fire and eliminated precisely as God has said, and to call attention to mankind to say, hey, something is coming. What is it? Would people run to church and say, Pastor, what's going on? What is this sign? No, they will go to NASA to find out what NASA said. What happened? What happened in this? They will go to Stanford University to see what the people said. They will not come to a pastor to understand it. So the conclusion for me of the first sign is this. The first sign from God is this. A warning about who is who on this earth. Who is who on this earth? Man tried to be number one. But God is number one. Now, I watch the news, and I want the best for the astronauts to come in and not to be on fire, even though there is a little linen on the window. They say they will cause nothing. But one man did an extraordinary thing. He went under the belly of the vehicle and pulled with his hand whatever is destroying the projection of coming down and perhaps getting fire and penetrating inside and blow up the whole navigation system. Now, here's what it is. I listened to Gordo, you know, they was explaining from NASA, remember? It's in Houston, big Gordo guy, sitting like this. He said, well, we have the best engineers in the world. We are the best, and certainly. He don't say that 3 or 4 days ago, but he say it now, after this guy from wherever it is, and the Japanese Nigahachi put their life out to go over there. Now, I want to tell you this. This was the mercy of God. I mean, nobody said God is merciful and allow us to know this or allow us to secure the whole plane to come down. No, everybody is honoring themselves and looking upon themselves and upon this earth as the whole thing. And more we advance in time, man loves himself more. And God, the first sign that God is coming is that God's going to do a supernatural thing. When you read in the Mercury, one third of every kind of tree is gone, and all the green grass is gone, then you say, wow, the first trumpet has sound. Now, I want to tell you, most of the people interpret this as spiritually. There is nothing spiritual. It happened reality in Exodus 9. And it happened in Exodus 9 to let Pharaoh know who is God. It's going to happen again here to let you and I and this world to know who is God. I'm so glad we are the children of God. And when I get that Mercury paper and said one third is gone, I said, God is getting closer. It's so beautiful to understand the Bible as it is. God is going to judge the world. But in judgment, he has mercy. And I think if we should have that kind of attitude. We should know what is right and do what is right, but have mercy on those who do not do right and have love and kindness. We should not be judging each other for every mistake we do. Who's judging you then? Let us love each other and know that God loves us more than anything else and reveal to us this. Let's have peace. And remember the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus said, get busy till I come. There is no calculations to make. There is no guessings to put together. There is a certainty here. When this event happened, we are at the very beginning of the end. That's it. When? I don't know. We live better in that way. Lord, thank you that you let us know in a remarkable way, in a fashionable way, what you're doing. And even though you are God, mighty, holy, and powerful, you are full of mercy. And you treat us, even the enemies of your kingdom, you treated them with mercy and kindness. Oh, Lord, thank you for the information. Thank you for the joy to know that when the supernatural things are a star coming on this earth, and we see them visible, then we know that your coming is near. Thank you, Father. In Jesus we pray. Amen. All right. Any question you have, perhaps I clarify, perhaps not. But if you have any question, I'd be glad to answer. Yes, sir.
Find a similar picture in 1 Kings 18 when Elijah drowns the sacrifice.
Yeah.
And the fire from heaven comes
down. Exactly. In a supernatural miracle, and nobody believed it. In other words, when God acts, it's not something that we see in a natural way, a supernatural. Yes? Somebody else? All right. It's not nice. It's all there. You know, it's just a matter of reading the grammar and putting it together and click it. Spend 4, 5, 6 hours, or 10 or 12. And that's it. All right. God bless you.
Ms. Otero, have any questions?